Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
I want to tell you about a question that my Rebbe presented. Anybody who learns the parasha presents this question. I want to tell you a story that happened to me, Zev, and talk about this question. In this week's parasha, Nathan, Dina, Yaakov Avinu's daughter, Dina, goes out, Batetze, she goes out, and she wants to see Bibnoi Sa'aretz. She didn't go out to hang out with the boys, she went out to hang out with the girls. Chazal criticized, there's a criticism, and it calls Leia Yaitzanis. Leia's a huge tzaddikus, huge, and Chazal call her a Yaitzanis. She's like out there. She's out there. I want to say this. I am not saying this, what I'm about to say now, on Leia at all. I'm not saying much. Leia Ziyotzanis means something. I'm very curious. My one of the most important people in the world to me is Leia. My grandmother, my Oma's name was Leia. And Leia is one of the greats who ever lived in our history, Leia Imei. Leia is one of our mothers, one of the Imeis, from the greats in our history. She has prophecy, Nathan. She's huge. And we understand when Chazal criticized, there's like something there, a subtlety. It's talking about something. Mm-hmm. Leia's known for her prayer. Ene Leia Raka. She's a big davener. Chazal say she had a midah of a yaitzanis. She went out. There's something there. It's saying something. A daka, some big madrig and some subtle. I'm totally not talking about Leia. And you need like. It's chutzpah. I'm only talking about things in our world. And Leia was not this. I don't know what she was. In our world, there are girls who flirt, who hang out, who are too publicly known. And then there's the girl. Guys would typically rather. I'm not like rating, and I'm not a girl, a bas Yisrael. Each one's precious. And a girl who wants to be seen, that could come from good shrushim. The roots of a person's precious and counts. And she's just trying to be seen. There's somebody, guys get frustrated, who's out there but doesn't talk to boys. Guys almost get more annoyed than the one who talks to boys. The girl who's, she's always around with the boys, or she doesn't talk to boys. That's a yaitzanis. You're trying to be seen, but you don't talk to boys. You're trying to be seen. The goal is to be in that madrega of self-confidence, of kol kvay debas melech pnima. To have such a good feeling of self, you're not out there. Now, I am not mocking anybody, and people, a person wants to be seen, the biggest tzaddikus, there's madregus of knowing I have something precious. It comes from good roots. Our job one day with our own daughters is to notice and see them and be amazed by them, so they don't need to be seen out there. They see themselves and have a self-confidence and a security and a confidence. Of course, that's the goal. There's, when we say Leia was a Yotzana, she's a tzaddikus and a tznua, an amazing person. Leia goes out. Vayarai say Shem ben Chamor. Shem sees Leia. And he does a terrible act to her. Shechem takes advantage of Dina. And he tells his father, Chamor, Shechem tells his father that I need to marry this girl. I want this girl. She's a special person. I need to marry her. Yaakov hears, Kitime es Dina bitai. Yaakov Avinu hears that somebody acted inappropriately to Dina, and Yaakov is silent. The Bnei Yaakov hear what happened. Yaakov's children hear what happened. Vayichar lehem ma'oid. And they're very, very upset. Ki nivola asa b'Yisrael. A disgusting thing happened in our people. They're mamish upset. Vayichar lehem ma'oid. They're angry very much. V'chein lo yayasa. This can't be done, what happened. We all know the story that Shimon and Levi take matters into their own hands. And Shimon and Levi punished the city. The whole city was complicit in this. The Rishonim speak what the city did. And Shimon and Levi punished the city. This city attacked the Yid, and Shimon and Levi defend the Yid, their sister. It's not happening. And Shimon and Levi defend, and they kill Hamor, and they wipe out Shechem, the city. There's no way somebody's taking advantage of their sister. Yaakov calls Shimon and Levi. Vayemir Yaakov al Shimon and Levi. After Shimon and Levi do this revenge, he says, "Acharta moisi, lavisheni biyoshev aretz." He said, "You put me in a bad position." He said, "Now the people in Eretz Yisrael are all like nervous from me, and then they don't feel good about me." And he said, "I'm small in number. They're going to gather against me and attack me. You put me in a very precarious situation." You know, this reminds me of, we once had a guy in the dorm when the yeshiva was in Waterbury who was a very strong guy. And he beat up, a guy started up and he beat up the guy. And he was feeling all macho and I was very upset. He said, "It's very nice. You're like a chiseled guy. You beat somebody up." He said, "We have guys in yeshiva who are skinny and not so strong. And now we're marked men in the inner city of Waterbury. Very nice, like you're strong and tough. But now another guy is going to walk there and get beaten up because of you." That's Yaakov Avinu says. He says, "Shimon and Levi, you put us in a compromise by attacking Shechem. And it sounds like what they did and the punishment they met out, that they gave out, was appropriate. Somebody took advantage of their sister. They paid for their lives. Shimon and Levi punished the appropriate punishment. But you endangered the whole family," Yaakov Avinu says. The Ramban says that the Torah doesn't record that two major wars broke out. The Torah is not a history book. It only records that which is relevant lenetzach, for all eternity. So the Ramban says that two wars broke out. The people of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah doesn't record it, had two major wars with Yaakov and his children because of this. Yaakov Avinu wasn't just like a nervous person. Itaka happened, there were two wars. So he gives them Musar, Shimon and Levi. "You shouldn't have done what you did. You put me in a compromised position. I don't like what you did." The Torah then does the most fascinating thing. It says the response of Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi say back to Yaakov, "You want us to let our sister be taken advantage of?" And the parsha ends. It's so interesting. Yaakov gives them Musar. Now, L'chayri, Yaakov knew why they did it. Yaakov knew, the Torah said, Yaakov also heard what happened. The Yaakov Shem, I'm fascinated that it says Yaakov's children are mad, and it doesn't say Yaakov's mad. Fascinates me. Yaakov's an Ish Emes, and Yaakov hears what happened to his daughter, and it doesn't say he's mad, Mosh. Remarkable. It says the Bnei Yaakov here, Vayichar Lehem Moed, they were very mad. It's interesting it doesn't say that. And Yaakov, we have to study, what is that? Yaakov's not mad, it's his daughter. A father cares more than brothers. Fascinating. We need to be Ma'ayin. We need to work on that. But what I want to say here is Yaakov knew why they did what they did, and he doesn't even say you shouldn't have killed them. That's not nice. They did the right thing. They were chayiv misa. That's open in Rishonim. All of them were chayiv. They were all complicit in the sin. They took a Jew. They kidnapped a Jew as a people. The chayiv misa. The chayiv misa. Together they robbed the Jew and took advantage. No problem. He just says it was a stupid move. You put me in a dangerous position. I'm going to get attacked. It's not safe. You want to punish them. Don't make it dangerous for us. And he says to Shimon and Levi, you compromised, your anger made you. And then the Torah, Nathan, records Shimon and Levi say, what? You want our sister to be a Zayna? It's one of like, I'm screaming the Pasuk. I like reading Chumash soft. I'm screaming this one. This Pasuk shouts, HaKizayna Yasa, you want our sister to be taken advantage of? So interesting, Maish. We know why they did it. And Yaakov Avinu doesn't even say why you do it. He knows why. He just said you compromised us. And yet the tyrant Nathan gives them the last word. Very fascinating. It's interesting. Later in the Torah, Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed gives them Musar again for what they did. If you ever learn a Gemara, the art of learning a Gemara is you could figure out who we paskin like. You could see how the Gemara handles. It's usually from the Gemara you could tell who we paskin like. In this machlokes that God gives the last word to Shimon and Levi, anybody who reads the story knows why they did what they did. And then Yaakov says it wasn't a good move. You endangered us. I hear you had a right. He doesn't say you had no right. He says you endangered us. And then the Torah gives them the last word. Why? You want our sister to be a Zayna? Hakazayna yasach ha'isenu? End of the parsha. It's almost like they're not even talking on the same playing field, Moshe. Yaakov Avinu is saying, I know why you did it. Just you endangered me. They don't even answer. They just say, it can't be our sister. I guess they're saying, so we're in danger, so we'll all die. But we're not letting our sister be a Zayna. I guess they're arguing. And they're saying, Tata, here we'll all be in danger. I'm sorry. It's not, sometimes what I hear Shimon and Levi are saying is, Tata, it's not the time for cheshbonos. Your dad acting so rational. That's what they're saying in Pshat. He said you endangered me. I know why you did it. You were entitled to do it, but you endangered. And they say back, what? What's the alternative? Hakizayna yasach isayna? We should just let her be a zayna? This might happen that way. I'm not standing by, I'm sorry. I'm not standing by idly. They're saying that it's not the time for chachmas. You're saying, well, it's dangerous. Intellectually, this is not the right move. They said, what's the alternative? That we just sit by and like shrug while our sister... Sometimes it's just we're acting. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, we're acting. This is not... We're acting. I'm sorry, there's not... We are acting. It's not... We're not cheshbening. You're saying these calculations. My Rebbe... There's nothing to do with what I want to say here. My Rebbe held very stark after October 7th, after the Simchas Torah Act. He felt every Yid had to go to Washington, D.C. He was very upset at people who, like, said not to go. He was very upset. He held, and he held, people were clearing, but what's it going to be like? And like, he held, like, Klal Yisrael's in it, so we have to say we belong to our people. Like, there's no negotiations. It's going to be like this, going to be like that. I don't know who's running it, who's speaking. He, like, didn't care. HaKazayni Yasach Hisenu. We were attacked, we stand with Am Yisrael. I'm not making other cheshbonos right now. Different time, like, he was upset. He held like very stark, people should go. That's the fascinating, they were given the last word, Nathan. And the question I would ask is if the Torah is paskening like them, which it certainly sounds like that's how Hashem, by giving them the last word, but then the Torah records Yaakov on his deathbed again giving them Musar. I thought the Torah like seemed to side with them. Now, to say maybe the Torah sides with them, so why did the Torah record Yaakov's Musar to them? Before Yaakov dies, Nathan, he gives Musar again to Shimon and Levi. Ar Apam, I don't like your anger. You made mistakes in your anger. I thought they gave an answer, and the Torah held to their answer. So then don't record Yaakov Avinu giving them Musar, B'Saif Yamav. The Kasha is a strong Kasha. Maske Maish? Nath? Is their answers correct? So then don't record Yaakov's Musar again later. If their answer is incorrect, Hashem doesn't hold like their answer, so don't record it. The Torah like lets them get the last word. The mashmais of Hashem giving them the last word is God is masking. By the way, they're plenty capable, the Shvatim love Musar, and they're plenty capable of not responding. There's a very, very like famous story with Baruch Ber, with the Briska Rav. Reb Chaim's son was the Briska Rav, and he once was up the whole night. He had a kasha in learning, and his father like saw him in bed like 7 in the morning, like very early in the morning, and his father like gave him musar that you sleep late, and he didn't sleep late, he had just gone to sleep. He had been up all night learning Torah. So his father gave him musar, and he didn't say a word back. So somebody asked the Briska Rav, like, why didn't you tell the Tata you were up all night learning? So he said a chance to hear Musa from the Tata. I don't know. He wanted to hear Musa. Such an opportunity to hear Musa. I hear what he's saying. A precious opportunity to hear Musa. So he didn't say back. So at family simchas. My father was a harenik aparis mishkav. He's a very timely person, and that he very much wanted me and my siblings to go to family simchas. Cousins, he held stark to be very family minded, and he demanded from us to be family minded. Siblings and cousins, even second cousins, he was very into mi besar chal to salim. A yid cares about his mishpacha, and he kept it, and he liked. He wasn't tough with me. He wasn't like that. He wasn't like, but it was due at a family simcha. If we came, he had a tremendous simcha. And if we came late, he didn't yell at me. It wasn't like that. But it was like, oh, Daniel, I see you late. Like, he was like, it was duly noted. Say it that way. What I would give for that Musser now, I'm going to be late. And on Thursday night, my sister and I cried about it. Rebbetz and Russ, we cried together. Who's going to notice if we're late at a family simcha? Who's going to be so freedom that we're there, and who's going to lecture us? Daniel, not big Musser, but a little Toichach, no, the family Simcha, no. It's important, the family Simcha. Toichach from a good person, from a person who loves you and cares, is precious. And the Brisker Rav got Toichach from his father. He said, I don't feel the need to Toichach. If Toichach is like challenging your goodness, see, I never felt the need to answer back. My father loved me and respected, held the world to me. His Toichach didn't challenge your goodness. He was, there's a Bachar in Yeshiva. I hold it from the biggest we ever had in Yeshiva. And I decided this morning to speak to him about something. Wasn't challenging. I'm blown. He's much bigger than me. I'm blown away. I felt to speak to him about something. Teichacha doesn't have to challenge your goodness. So the Reb Chaim speaks to the Brisker Rav. He's not like challenge. He holds the Brisker. He was telling him no. So the Brisker Rav said, "I have a chance to hear Teichacha. I don't feel like the big pressure to answer back." So the brothers didn't have like this need. There's a sugi here. They usually don't argue on your father. Here they said something back to the Tata. Amazing. Yaakov Avinu says, you endangered me. They said, Tata, this is not a question of like, it's a good thing, it's a bad. I hear we might all die from it. It's true. I hear. Hakazayini Yasach, he's saying, what's the alternative? We just should sit by and our sister was treated like this? What's the alternative? I'm sorry, I'm not sitting by idly and my sister's taking advantage. It's not happening. And the Torah records them, the last word. Fascinating, no, Maish? So I want to tell you a little story. Maishi's heard this story. Is it fair to say 100 times in your life from me? Maybe not 100, that's a guzma. 30 times from me. Fair number of times. I apologize. But it's a good story. It means a lot to me, this story. I don't like saying it a lot of times because it means something to me. It means it's not another story. It's an important experience in my life. Very important experience in my life. My Rebbe's important to me, and I lost my Rebbe this year. And I think about my Rebbe. And this is a very important story for me, my Rebbe, and he asked this kasha on the Shabbos I was with him. So let me tell you, I'll say it briefly, Nathan, the story as follows. Avi, it went like this. Yaakov, you heard this story from me? I'm going to say it, I'll try to say it briefly. If you heard it once, this is the second time. If you heard it four, this is the fifth time, fine. The story is like this, Daniel. The Yeshiva for Rockaway once a year, the Yeshiva Rakwe has a retreat. Now, my Rebbe was the Rosh Yeshiva. It's his Yeshiva. The kids in the Masifta, Nathan, did not typically interact tons with the Rosh Yeshiva. At those years, there were different years. Early years, he was very involved. In the years I was there, I was close to my Rebbe from a young age. I ran after him. I grew up there. My father was a Rebbe there. I went to his Shalosh Shudah Shiurim. I went to extra Shiurim. The typical kid in the high school, in 12th grade, you heard him Fridays. The rest of the high school, you heard him a few times a year, Mish. Before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before Purim, it was a couple of times a year. I went after him and heard him much more. I would hear him every other Shalosh Shudahs. Other times, I was best friends with his sons. I was even around the house. I liked him a lot. the retreat was a once a year, the whole school went upstate, not where the camps are, hours further upstate, and the whole yeshiva would go on the retreat for a Shabbos. That Shabbos belonged to my Rebbe. The whole year, people didn't know him, that Shabbos, the whole yeshiva enjoyed him, and he enjoyed the yeshiva. He had a symposium, question and answers. All the rebbeim would come and listen to him. He was funny, brilliant, and interesting. They would ask questions, and he would talk. It was fascinating. And Q&A could be the worst chill ever. If there's certain times we do Q&A, and it's like, I'd rather watch paint dry. I'd rather go to a Jet game right now than Q&A. They're not too many. I would go to today's Giant game over many Q&A. Just, I don't know. It's like standard answers. You don't want any Q&A when everybody's answer, you know what they're going to say. And you've, I don't know, it's an agenda. I don't know. It doesn't. There's certain, Rob, I would go to Q&A with Rabbi Shapiro. He's very open-minded. And I'm actually curious. He's not giving the standard answer. He's interesting. He actually has a lot of thought and unique thought. But Q&A could be a bad chill. My Rebbe's Q&A was a very good chill. Like I'm telling you, it's funny to say objectively, people sat there. It was fascinating. He was very open-minded and interesting and really thought about a lot of things, had a very unique way of seeing the world, and it was instructive and eye-opening and interesting. Like, you really saw a worldview. Q&A was cool. So that Q&A, he sang. My Rebbe had a beautiful voice. He sang with the... Now, if I just sound like a biased Talmud, guilty as charged. But he had a gorgeous voice, and it was just beautiful. The Shabbos was, like, stunning. It was a beautiful Shabbos with him. And it was the one Shabbos the whole year the yeshiva experienced him, and people got to enjoy. Very beautiful. What happens is you go up there, and Friday everybody plays. My Rebbe doesn't do any ball. He's not involved there of Shabbos. He didn't play ball, wasn't a ball player at all, zero. People would play ball. A lot of the Rebbeim would play. The guys would play good games, Nathan. And then Shabbos would come, and it was my Rebbe. Beautiful Shabbos. His question and answer, his singing, and Oyneg with him Friday night, a speech from him. Dehaibin, very uplifting. Comes this year, Nathan, and the kid Erev Shabbos is writhing in pain. Is that how you say writhing? Did I pronounce that? I remember, I'm visualizing it. In the lobby of the hotel, a kid is jumping around in crazy pain. He needs to rush to the hospital. It turned out his appendix burst and he needed an emergency surgery. They rush him to the hospital. It's a dinky hospital. This is about 15 miles from the hotel. It's like not a used hospital. It's not a New York, you know, a big city. Even with Zeichenir here, there's what's that big hospital? CCMC. Prestigious hospital doctors. This had like if a cow hurts its leg, they can do good zachim. They're not so trained on people. There was very little doctors there. But there's a hospital, and his appendix bursts. They rush him to the hospital right before Shabbos. Remarkably, my Rebbe goes with him. My Rebbe did not have much of a shaykhs to the kid. It was not, the kid's a wonderful person. I know him till today. His nephew is in our yeshiva. Believe it or not, his nephew's in the yeshiva. That I never told you, Maish. What?
You get a new detail.
Yeah. Well, his nephew wasn't in yeshiva the last time I said it. This change is the only part of the story that changed. But his nephew's in the yeshiva. Happens to be. Cute quirk of the story. And this guy, who wasn't specifically close to my Rebbe, most of the guys in the high school didn't have shaykhs. And this guy was rushed to the hospital. Now, Nathan, this is my Rebbe Shabbos. It's his. And if he's not there, it's not like the next week, then we have my Rebbe. This is his Shabbos. And he misses, then next year we'll get it. I don't know if you could understand, this was his Shabbos. He looked forward the whole year, and we looked forward the whole year. My Rebbe leaves the Shabbos to take this kid to the hospital. Now, he could have asked any 12th grader. He could have asked any Rebbe who wasn't there Shabbos, you're going to go with the kid. We had some Beis Medrash guys. I think I was first year Beis Medrash. I don't remember if I was 12th year or first year Beis Medrash. He would have said, Daniel, please go to the Shabbos. I said, okay, Rebbe, I'll do it for you. He went to Rosh Hashiva, who this is his Shabbos. He left hundreds of people, his Shabbos, his week, his wife. He's a married man. Ask a bacher. And he said, it's my responsibility. And he went with the bacher for Shabbos. Now that alone blew my mind. I think maybe of any, I'm going to tell you more cool things, of anything that transpired, that alone is like life-changing to me. That a Rosh Yeshiva, a whole yeshiva, leaves the yeshiva for one guy is like mind-blowing. Every cheshbon is you have a rabbim, you have the masses, who are craving to hear your word. And he went with one bacher. This guy's a good guy, and his nephew's in the yeshiva. Maishi liked that. Rav Ezi, there's a new detail, his 30th time hearing it. And Maishi said, a new detail? You never said before. I said, he just came to yeshiva, the nephew. So now the guy you got heard, his nephew's in yeshiva. The story is ever-changing. The Baruch, it's a new story, Pasha. This year, Maishi never heard it before, ever. It's a new, it's a fresh. What? I will not say right now. I have to like make the cheshvin if I should say, but it could be a couple. I'll tell you privately now.
He's here currently?
He's here, not in the room. Not in the room. What? Nothing.
You're still angry that he moved the
Shabbos. That's, I have to like, I have to think like where I'm feeling towards him on this. I have to, she knows me. It would come out like harsh, like, I'm going to pick a guy up, J.D. Harwood, like, I'll come out like harsh. What do you do? He's like a guy in the yeshiva. I don't know. I have to like look at my own feelings. I'm going to say his name very harsh. The guys are going to rate when they see me and him. They're going to see like beef. But no, he made me make, you'll hear. Let's keep going with the story. The bottom line is, is that Nifla Nathan, my Rebbe goes with the guy for Shabbos. It's like Lo Yeumen Ki Yesuper. To leave that, I don't know how to describe to you the Chiddush. It's his Shabbos. I'm trying to think what it would mean, what I would miss in my life. My Rebbe looked forward. The older I get, the more remarkable it is. When you're young, you might not even understand. Like your Rebbe, we all looked forward to it. When you get older, you chapt, whatever we... You know what I would analogy? The alumni Shabbos there at Yisrael. I like can't. It's like the best thing in the world. And Abba say, Rebbe, I need you somewhere in Tzvat. Do you mind going for Tzvat for Shabbos? And I missed alumni Shabbos. Like you wait, and then you do it next year. You miss it for a year. You only get X number. Next year you'll come. It's not normal. It's not a normal. It doesn't make sense, and it's barely logical. For a kid that he didn't know. Revezi, for a kid he didn't know and didn't... I don't even think the kid would be so excited. The guy's a really good guy. Wasn't like, Rebbe's... If you asked him, it could be he would even send a different guy. It wasn't like the guy, he made his life. I don't think the guy sits there every year and says, and like, is maybe he is. I don't want to talk for him. I'll ask the nephew. Is your uncle yearly, like, remember that he came? You'll hear, it's not really like that. You'll hear in a second. The bottom line, Nathan, is my Rebbe says, sayonara to the Shabbos and goes to the bacher. Almost, I spoke to my Rebbe's children at Shiva. They said, the one of the sons said, I don't understand why he did it. They were tumbling. He said, how did he leave everybody? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Everybody wanted him. Why would he hurt everybody? And we didn't have him that Shabbos. It wasn't like there was no makeup. There was no, that was the Shabbos. We go to the hotel and that's it. So that year, those guys didn't have it. To me, it's not a kasha. This bacher is sick. You have achrayis. That's your responsibility. It's not a kasha. You're the Rosh Yeshiva. This guy's sick. You can't. You have a chrayis for each one. That's a chrayis of not passing the buck. He felt it's his responsibility, Daniel. So he goes with the guy. Nathan, listen to this. I have a friend who's a beautiful person, and he says to me, how are we sitting in the hotel Shabbos, Eli, and Rebbe's sitting in the hospital? Let's go to Rebbe and be with him for Shabbos. So I asked my parents. My parents had a car, a van. I say, could I borrow the van? I want to go with my Rebbe. My parents are the nicest. They say, take the car. My parents, my father's a Rebbe in Yeshiva Rakwe. My father says, take the car, Daniel. And I
new
drive.
Info. New info.
Okay. A little bit of fat.
We got some buttons, Rob.
Well, it's already a new story because the nephew came to Yeshiva. So it's already a panim chalashos. Bottom line is, I borrow my parents' car and I drive two friends, Svi and Zelig. Tzvi convinces me and Zelig that we should go be with Rebbe for Shabbos. We're crazy. Why we stay in the hotel? The whole hotel has Rebbe. Let's be with Rebbe there. We shouldn't leave Rebbe alone. We didn't need much convincing. I asked my parents. I drove. I took my parents' car. I drive Zelig and Tzvi to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and my Rebbe, remember, nobody has cell phones. This is going back. I'm 29. You go. You do the math. Then nobody had cell phones. There was no such thing. That just didn't exist. The bottom line is we get. Yeah, I've ever told you a story. Is that me? Have I told you the story? Okay, come here. I told you. But yeah, you didn't know the nephew's in Yeshiva. So the bottom line is I get to the hospital. My Rebbe comes out to the. Entrance to the hospital. I remember it was in the back of the hospital. We're going in, and my Rebbe says, "We say we're here. We want to be with Rebbe for Shabbos." And my Rebbe says, "That's so nice here. I'm really touched. I'm moved. Now please go back to the hotel." He says, "I'll be honest. I have a lot on my plate. This bacher is sick. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm trying to figure out. They were trying to find a doctor to do surgery. He really was sick. He needed emergency surgery." So he said, I have a lot on my plate. It means so much that he came. Now please go back to the hotel.
I go, sure, Rebbe.
My friend Svi says, Rebbe, I hear. I'm not leaving you alone. My friend Svi says, Rebbe, I'm not going to leave Rebbe alone. Zelig's not sure what to do. Svi is not leaving Rebbe alone. And I'm sure, let's get out of here. My Rebbe then gets a little tougher with Svi. He says, Svi, I hear. Wow. Tzvi, I'm really impressed. Now get back to the hotel. Go back. And he says very stark to Tzvi, get back. At this point, as they're arguing, my Rebbe gets fierce and is upset. Get back to the hotel! He like explodes. Like my Rebbe is 6 foot six, 6 foot five, six, and I never saw him this angry. He was really mad. I'm like, Tzvi, now I could just drive away, but Tzvi's not leaving. I promise. I was already at this point right by my van door. Could be I had 1 foot like into the van. I'm not being Megazin. By the van door, I can't, maybe a foot up. Zelig's in the middle, and Tzvi is like right near my Rebbe. I'm like, Tzvi, if I drive away, Tzvi is stuck. There are no Ubers, nobody. The Uber doesn't exist then. Remember, this is going back again, 29. There's no Ubers then.
No Ubers.
There's no cell phones. Tzvi, I can't leave. I don't help my Rebbe. He's telling us leave. And Tzvi is like, I'm not going. And he's like, Rebbe, I'm not leaving you. I don't care what you say. He literally is like, I'm not leaving. My Rebbe is exploding. I'm like, Tzvi. I'm like asking Tzvi. Zelig doesn't know what to do. He's just looking at his bolt. And I'm like asking Tzvi. And Tzvi is like, I'm not leaving Rebbe. I'm just not leaving him. I'm like, Tzvi, he sort of doesn't want you here. And says, like, I don't care. Tzvi, held, I'm not leaving Rebbe. He's screaming, I'm not leaving him. So they go back and forth. By the time this argument ended, it was close to Shabbos. I don't think we would have made it back. It went on. I cannot say how long it went on. Tzvi has written up this story. I have to ask him. The argument might have gone on a half hour. I don't want to exaggerate. It's too precious of a story to me. The bottom line is after they argue for Zman Ma, I'm stuck. I stayed. I'm not like the guilty guy because it didn't help my Rebbe if I leave and leave Tzvi there. I couldn't convince Tzvi. So Lemay sent my Rebbe, turns around and walks into the hospital. And Tzvi follows right behind them. He's walking out, Rabbi. You know, you talk about Al Yispal, Achurei Rabbi. This is like, he's walking Achurei Rabbi. Zelig, like, walks the next. And I'm in the back, like, I can't believe this happening. I'm not the most assertive guy in the world. And I'm, like, following my Rebbe. And I'm walking. My Rebbe turns around. I will never, ever, ever forget this in my life. He has just screamed. There was tension like you can't believe. And my Rebbe turns around and says to Tzvi, good Shabbos, the beautiful good Shabbos Tzvi, good Shabbos Zelig, I got Shabbos Danielka. I'll never forget my whole life. I'll never forget that good Shabbos as long as Hashem grants me here. I remember the good Shabbos Svi, good Shabbos Zella, good Shabbos Danielka. I'll never ever forget it. Rabbi says, good Shabbos. Okay, so now we've been invited, accepted, we're here. Good Shabbos. A little like whoever heard Schwarz a Wolf, and by Shalashud this time, he like, after like sleeping in the barn, finally Schwarz a Wolf puts the sweetest form of Sam, strum on him. Like, this is my version of that, of my Rebbe's good Shabbos, after like, making it very clear we shouldn't be here. What's wrong, Sreli?
Oh, Josh, he's very excited.
This is my version of Schwarz a Wolf, of my Rebbe's good Shabbos Tzvi, good Shabbos Zell, good Shabbos Daniel. Very heartwarming, very beautiful. So my Rebbe says good Shabbos. We then follow my Rebbe in, and then the next thing that happens is they could not get any doctor to do surgery. We're like handling for the guy, the Bacher, and they could not get a doctor to do surgery. His life was in danger. Literally, we have a machloikis, us four, the three guys in my Rebbe. I do not know if they sent him by helicopter or ambulance. You could say, what's the difference? I like things exact. My Rebbe likes stories exact, and we had a difference of opinions. They took him out of the hospital to New York. He needed a bigger hospital. The surgery was life-threatening, and he needed a surgery, and they decided to do the surgery in a Manhattan hospital. Pashtus, they airlifted him. They took him by a helicopter or a plane to New York, one of these ones that land on the roof. They got him out of the hospital, that's for sure. If they airlifted him or ambulanced him, there was like two versions amongst us four. I simply don't remember anymore. I just know that we're like handling, there's no doctor there, and they get him. There's no doctor to do this surgery. It's a delicate surgery. And they send him to New York. So now it's us four there, minus a patient, Nathan. The head of the hospital is a lady. It's a very small hospital. She's the CEO. She literally runs the hospital. And the lady, what was the question? Which I don't remember which one. If they took him by plane, helicopter, or by ambulance. My Rebbe cared on stories a lot, and they had a vikuach. He was very precise. What? Good nachum. Good nachum. We could ask. It's funny. We could ask the nephew. They ask the uncle. It's good. My Rebbe cared very much. His stories.
But it's outside the. I'm saying it's not like.
Right. The bottom line, Nathan, is this guy's sent to New York, and the head of the hospital comes to us and says, "I like all you four. Get out of here. Get out. You're kicked out of the hospital." We're like. All four, the three.
I'd like all.
All four. I'd like you all to leave. Get out. So.
Okay, thank you. I like all you four.
No, she's like, I'd like all you out.
Too. Oh, okay.
And she kicked us out. So we calmly explained to her that it's our Sabbath, and we can't leave. It's Shabbos at this point, Nathan. It's Shabbos, and we can't leave. There's no place. So the hospital was in nowhere. There's no city there. To go, remember, the hotel was about a 15-minute drive. Walk would be impossible. And my Rebbe, to begin with, on Shabbos, it's out of the Tchum. You're not allowed to walk that distance. Even you'd say, here is a situation of heter. My Rebbe wasn't even in shape to walk that type. It would have been hours back to the hotel and out of the Tchum. So we said, we can't. So the lady said, I don't care that you can't get out. We said it's against our religion. She said, religion, I own this place, out. She was an anti-Semite. I say that not coming from a place of everybody, like somebody, every cop who gives you a ticket, anti-Semite. No, just a cop who's supposed to give tickets. Here, the lady was taunting us and tough, and we all took it as an anti-Semitic person who said, get out of here. I don't want you here. We were not a threat. We were a rabbi with three dudes, and she kicked us out. We tell her we can't leave. She got mad and she called the cops. She called the cops on us. We were like giving her tzaras, we're not leaving. We said we can't leave. She said you have to leave. She called the cops. The cops were really nice, understanding and nice. And the cops said, I totally get you, totally. And he understood us, gave us the air. He said, now, you have two choices. Either I arrest you and bring you to jail because you are trespassing. She's right. You can't tell somebody she owns this place. Your religious reasons, you can't say, okay, I'm in your house, it's my religion. You got to leave. If you want, I'll be nice. I'll put you in jail. I'll just lock you in jail till I'll put you in jail. And you'll leave after tomorrow's Sunday, we explained. Or leave, get out and walk somewhere. You can't be here. The only help I can be, there's nothing around. I said, I'll bring you to jail. And you could like, and we won't, we'll be nice to you. We'll lock the door. You could party, enjoy jail. Either jail, or, there's nothing, he wasn't offering his house. I guess he wasn't the nicest guy in the world. But he's totally like, he wasn't mean. He said, you just can't be there. I get your predicament, but you can't be there. So we said, we'll leave. We said, we don't want jail. We should have chosen jail. We said, we will leave. We'll leave, and that's it. So the police leave. He said, okay, so get out of here. The lady said, I'll give you 10 minutes, whatever she gave us, collect your stuff. We had whatever we had there. Collect your stuff and get out. I think we had one siddur. We had put in a room that we were like waiting in, figuring out what to do. So we had one siddur. We had next to nothing. But we get our stuff and we're going to leave. And a doctor, we didn't know where we were going. We had no idea. We're just going to leave. We'll be on the street for Shabbos. I don't know.
It's cold.
It was cold, very cold, very. It's the winter. Was it the winter? That year was late in the year. No, it was after. It was not Vayishlach. No, he said from here. I don't think it was Pashya. Was it Pashya? I don't remember. Now comes on the phone, like speaking to the nephew if he wants to come. The bottom line is my Rebbe is we're kicked out and we have to leave now, Nathan. A doctor comes to us and he says that I want to hide you. He said, if I am caught, I'm fired. I work in this hospital. He said, she's the head. She's tough. She's the head. But I want to hide you. He said, I have 36-hour shifts. Today, it's illegal. Today, there's no such thing. If you could pass nurses and doctors, they shortened it, the union. He said, I have 36-hour shifts, which means he's on to do surgeries over 36 hours. Then he has off like a day. Then he does another 36-hour shift. And he said during his shift, he has a room that belongs to him, not the room he does surgeries in. The room between surgeries, he could sleep, eat, chill out. It's his room in the house, his personal room. He's not there most of the time because he does surgeries, but he has a personal room in the hospital that he could chill out, Nathan. And he says, I'll hide you for Shabbos in this room.
He was a Jew,
huh? A guy. And he says, don't come out, I'll get fired. If this is caught, I'm fired. Late Friday night, we're in this room. I spent the nicest Shabbos of my life with my Rebbe, hiding in a hospital room, scared, because if they catch us, we're going to be arrested, as the cops already told us. Scared if they catch us, we cause the doctor who hit us to get fired. This kind guy. And we had a Shabbos, we had kimat no food. My Rebbe set up the table nicely. We set up nicely. We put out napkins, she looked nice. We sang Zmiris. We davened together. We learned together. We schmoozed together. The nicest Shabbos of my life. It was otherworldly Shabbos, my Rebbe and my two friends, us three boys. We had otherworldly Shabbos. On that Shabbos, the doctor came late Friday night, and he said, I remember he came late, we were in the middle of our einig, our suda, our einig, we had no annex to go to, the einig, the suda, everything was there, there was no food here, there was just, you call the einig, the suda, the everything. In this room, and the doctor came into the room late Friday night, and he said, I bet you're wondering that here I'm a Gentile, and I just risked my life for four Jews. I risked my job. I'm fired. If I hid four people who the head of the hospital kicked out, I'm fired. You're probably wondering why I risked my job. Why'd I do that? For what? I don't know you. You don't know me. Why would I risk my job for four Jews? So he said, I'll tell you what happened. As the doctor tells us, he says that I watched before that kid was airlifted or ambulanced out. He said it was a tumult in the hospital. A kid came, a patient, we couldn't do the surgery, we didn't have the right doctor to do it. And he said, I saw that man, he points to my Rebbe, kiss and talk to the student. And I said to the other doctors, did you ever see a nicer parent in your life, a warmer dad in your life? The doctor said, and the other doctors, it was like a tumult, say, he's not the dad, he's the principal. I said, a principal cares about a kid like this? I will do anything in my life. I'll risk my job. I said then, I'm going to help these people. He said, I said to myself that I'm going to help these people. Then I hear there's a turmoil in the hospital. I heard the head, she's a tough lady. She's crazy. She doesn't like anybody. Whatever he said about her, I heard she kicked you guys out. I said, I'm helping these people. I had made that. He said, I'm having you in the room. I saw the way you cared for that kid. I'd never seen. I thought you as a father were unusually warm. You're a prince when you care for a kid like that. I'm helping you out. I'm risking my job. That's why I did it. That's why you're in my room. And we spent the Shabbos in the room. That's the, listen, then, on that Shabbos, my Rebbe told us something that I never knew. We many beautiful and interesting things on the Shabbos.
Okay.
My Rebbe was asked to speak at the Aguda convention when he was 26 or 27. He was a special person. His father-in-law was one of the Gedolim. His grandfather was one of the Gedolim. He was asked to speak at the Aguda convention. He said something very controversial. Fights broke out during his speech. People started screaming at each other. His friend Reb Bowman grabbed the mic. And it was a whole uproar. I could tell you my Rebbe lived after he was 26. He lived to 90. I don't believe he ever once spoke again at the Aguda convention. I don't think he was ever asked to speak again for 60. I don't think so. 64 more years after, his career ended speaking at the Aguda convention. And I don't think so. I don't want to say for sure. I don't think. Can I ask the family? So I never knew what he said. And I never publicly in my life said what he said. But I always said that my Rebbe goes to Olam Haba, I'll share. So I'll tell you what he said. I told you, Rebbe.
I know.
What?
Went
till that Shabbos. But then even after that Shabbos, my Rebbe passed away this year, so here's another new part to the story I never wanted to say in his life.
That Shabbos,
I had reasons.
My
Rebbe told us what he said and told us what happened, but I left that Shabbos till now, till this year, till my Rebbe departed, I didn't tell my wife what he said. I felt I had reasons not, I didn't do it. I felt my Rebbe's in Olam Emes. I'm going to say what I remember. It's a long time ago. This story happened 32 years ago. It's the way I remember what my Rebbe said, and his kids could have another. I don't own the story. What I remember is he said very stark that our boys are not ready for marriage in our yeshivas. He knocked our yeshivas publicly. He went up to speak, and
is this what he Bowman, to say?
So Reb Bowman, his friend Reb Bowman, Reb Nachman Bowman was my Rebbe's friend, and Reb Bowman, who's one of my heroes, told my Rebbe, you're going to get up and praise our people, and everybody will give a polite cheer, a round of applause. Say what you think about things. And my Rebbe canceled his entire speech and said, okay, I'm going to tell. And my Rebbe ends up criticizing our yeshivas. He felt that Bachram are not prepared for marriage. He felt that in yeshivas, for whatever reason, that guys are coming out. They start with marriage and life. And he felt some, again, I'm no right. And he felt that guys shouldn't get married early. We should wait and let guys wait to be prepared. The way our system is, they're not ready for marriage. It's dangerous. And he helped to get married later and wait. Unless we change up the system, he felt to wait much longer to get married, let people be ready for marriage. But he gave Musser, he gave fierce Musser. People got very upset at him for what he said, Nathan, and it became a whole machlaikas. A lot of speakers, no joke, over Shabbos, some people spoke against him, a chutzpah, 27-year-old knocking yeshivas, defending yeshivas, chas v'shalom, and like that. And some people said, he's saying a good point, maybe we should talk. And it was a whole dialogue over Shabbos. On Maitzei Shabbos, who came and spoke? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And they told Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky what transpired over Shabbos. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, that he asked this kasha on our Parshas Vayishlach, that who has the last word. And he said what's being said here is they needed to do what they did. They absolutely, but you also need to be yelled at. It's so incredibly irresponsible what they did, you have to get yelled at. Sometimes you have to do what you do and you have to get yelled at. The older I get, I want the guys to hear this. It means more and more to me, Moshe. Sometimes people are exactly right what they're doing and should still get yelled at. And my Rebbe, and Rav Yaakov said, Maitzei Shabbos, that that young man, he's 27 and he attacked yeshivas, he has to speak up. He felt something. And he has the possibility, he has a yeshivas there, but he also has to get yelled at for it. He did what he's right, and he should get yelled at. And he said that here Hashem gives the last word to Shimon Levi, but Yaakov yelled at them, you need to get yelled at for such a thing, but you need to do what you did.
And that's, they're right?
And they were right to do what they did. That's what Yaakov said. My Rebbe said to us that here Tzvi said, I'm not pardoning you, Rebbe, and I yelled at him. He said we were both 100% right. He said, I'm a Rosh Hashiva. My job is the responsibility of you three. I don't know what was going to be Shabbos. And you see, we were kicked out. It almost got dangerous. My job was to get guys to safety. I have one guy here. I don't have food. You're having a Shabbos without food. My job was to get you to a safe place. Your job was not to leave your Rebbe. He said we were both right. He said, but I need to yell at you. I have to do my job. You have to do your job. I can't tell you in my life how touching that is. Guys get upset. Sometimes people yell at our yeshiva. You know, it's excellent. Sometimes you have to do a chiddush and you have to get yelled at for doing your chiddush. It's real. Different people have different roles. They're machleiksim and klaisrael that it's clear both sides were excellent. There are real times where it's important each person expresses theirs. Two even strong different positions is not a big deal. Hashem brings you, bring out to the world. There's something in the world that's cool. I think we have to learn how to disagree healthily. It's beautiful and fiercely. And
it sounds like over here it's something different. It sounds like that the way Rebbe is saying it, that Terry said they were right. Even so,
they went to get yelled at. Yeah. Yaakov's job is to yell at his kids, responsibility to teach them that. Their job, different people have different responsibilities. It comes out like this, good. Michal, I promise, I don't say I understand it here. I'm not even trying to understand it in the story of Yaakov and the children. Uh-huh. I'm not trying. Because I have Kasha's head. Nathan, I promise I've seen this in my life. Two people behaving truthfully, and they have, you think Hillel and Shammai, they had like big machleiksim, argued fiercely. It was very important, very good. Hillel brought Hillel and Shammai brought Shammai, and they argued fiercely. People will come and be stark, it's so wrong. And they're supposed to bring that to the world. There's different souls meant to bring different iris. And big people, do you know the Berditchev had people that were mad at him? Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev had people mad at him. Do you know Reb Nachman had people that were fighting? So you think everybody retroactively is mad at him? Today we all know Reb Nachman. So people who were mad at him are all bad. The Shpala Zayd is bad. The Shpala Zayd was one of the Tzaddiki Adar, was upset at Reb Nachman. Do you know the Shpala Zayd? There was a certain R. Reb Nachman was a different R. Two Iris. It's a lad, we're too afraid of this. We're too afraid, we're too insecure for this. So let it be fierce. Two shitas that are two iris that are very important lights are let it be there, are supposed to be there. Rav Yaakov wasn't a jokester. He said my Rebbe was supposed to do what he did and he was supposed to get yelled at. Beautiful. So let it be like that, and that has a big value. Has a big value. We learn from the whole Zach. You learn from the, you learn, all the time you learn from two shittas that are exactly opposite, and they bring big R. I'm not trying to be political. I'm not, you could think of examples, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't be stark. Don't melt somebody's R is to argue on you. That could be a big R. Nathan, you hear what I'm saying? You'll see in your life things you stand for. Don't melt. But there's another sheet of good, that could be beautiful. That could be very important and a beautiful art. There were big tzaddikim who had big machleiksim. And you could say, so who was the wrong? What happened in Shemai? Maybe they were both right. Maybe there was a certain art by doing this and a certain art by being maich on this. I don't know. Rav Yaakov wasn't funny. He said on this, Hakizayni Yasach Senu, that their aris is to do that, and his aris to yell. What do you say to this, Michal? It's fascinating. It's like a fascinating R in itself, this R. But what I get a lot from it is bring yours. There's room in the world for us all. Bring your soul. Let it loose. Let it loose. There's room. There's room. There's yesh makom. There's space for your light. There's space for your light. Let it shine. Shem designed the world, David, with many, many iris. Many lights, many possibility of Kiddush Shemaim. Each of us to shine. But what happens if my iris, there's room for both lights. There's room. Shnei iris. There's room for both lights. And sometimes it may come out as a machlokes, it can come out Hillel and Shammai with two iris. Maishitz of Pella, there were two iris called Shammai. Abayev and Rava, there were two iris, and they came out like opposites, and the world's a better place because there's Abayev and Rava and Hillel and Shammai. Don't be afraid, but also tap into your ur. Tap in. Don't be afraid if there's a snagdus. There hasn't been a great in our history, a person who shined a light, there wasn't a snag, there's no such thing. The Baal Shem's Urs, and now let's decide it was right, the Baal Shem and the Gra were both 100% right, not 98%. Oh, you see? No, it's two iris. And then there's room for a machlokes, there's room, it brings something out from some... What do you say to this, Mayor? Mayor, I don't know, I like it, and I sense this is true. Two people could do theirs, and it's allowed. We get so nervous. Guys will run back. He disagrees. Gewaldig. Excellent. What an R. What a beautiful R. I think it stops, Morty. It's too dangerous that we're afraid for a different way and a different... It's very dangerous. I don't like that we don't leave room for another way and another beautiful light and be impressed by it. Be impressed by it. By the way, guys see strictness. Oh my gosh, this is a beautiful light. We were talking about rigidity and flexibility and different people. There are different iris in the world. Leave room for another... What do you say to this, Martha? What strikes you? It's funny. Morty Kedarka, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. I want to say what he said because it's important. So Morty said, so everything's just like, you just took away any chiyus. So like, what do we argue? It's boring. We're all good. Everything's good. I still say fiercely shine yours. It's interesting because Morty's asking and he's saying, Maishio, Morty asked, Morty said, so you took away any machlokes, everything's boring. Like, I'm allowed to be you, you be you, me be me. He's right, there's a danger to like teaching that could be different artists. Morty said, you take away passion. Okay, everybody just do it. No, shine your light fiercely and comfortably and fully and bring it. Bring it because your art is your art and you're supposed to see your art. I think if you too easily understand his and let go of yours, you don't bring yours. Bring it. Hillel didn't come like apology. He was Hillel. Boom. Shammai was Shammai. Boom. It comes fierce, and it has to come fierce. I don't know if it's so apologetic, and it's so well. He's a letter. I hear. My job is not to make room for his per se. My job is to shine my art in a certain fashion. In a certain way, I think so. What you said is always like the danger. Morty's saying at the point, like, there's everybody's art, so nobody has any passion. No, you have an art. And whenever you bring your art, there's a chayshech you're fighting, Morty. So you have to fight past the chayshech. I don't want to make so anybody is not doing what you're doing. It's just a different R. There's a chayshech that you're supposed to light up. There's a darkness and a void of your R. So battle for your R. Because the chayshech needs your R. There'll be a different R that has a different... Do you know what I mean? So I like what Morty said is like the danger of this. So that was the story, Chevra. That was a brief, somewhat brief, like the new details of the nephew.
Was there any food? Did anybody send food?
Okay, we didn't give every detail. I have to save something for a different year.
Are you wise?
It's
not that Shimon and Levi has to hear the Moser, it's that Yaakov has to hear the Moser.
That's fair. And maybe they even have to hear. I don't know. Maybe it's good to hear.
I mean, even though
what?
There needs to be a fight. That's what I guess. I wonder what you're saying. Why couldn't Yaakov say it's someone else? Each brother are.
Maybe that needs that tension itself, does the Baal Shem and the Grum. Maybe that tension itself. Right, Shem put them to Zam, and that tension also did things.
Why would that do? What is that?
It's a good question. It's a good question, Rish. Should this be a segue and talk about Chassidus a little? It's late. We're having so much fun today. Goodness me. Oh, when I'm late to my son's bed. Interesting, Nathan. Might say Shabbos. When it was time we could go, we ran to my car and I drove everybody back. When we got back to the hotel... When we got back to the hotel, Rabbi Brown, who's an Adam Gadol, a Shas Yid, Kol HaTayr Kula Yid, he said that the whole yeshiva has to go greet my Rebbe. He did such a tzedkus. He was so nishtaimim. Maishi, I told you this?
No.
Rabbi Maishi Brown was so amazed by the tzedkus of what my Rebbe did. When we came back, he said we have to go out to greet him. And he had the whole yeshiva come outside. The whole yeshiva went outside to greet my Rebbe and walked him in. When we came back, Rabbi Brown said, everybody should go out. They mamish, it's not a chassidish yeshiva. They like, could be they even tanced him back. But they all went out. It could be, I feel they even tanced. I don't want to say, I'll change the detail. But they came out to greet us all. The Raivam, they came out. Rabbi Brown spoke. Yeah, he said about the tzidkos. He left that Shabbos to view the Bachar. Pasha Yid coming back from a Dvar Mitzvah like this, he had the whole yeshiva go out to Pasha bring him back.
How was their Shabbos? Was it like a disappointment of us?
I wasn't there.
But you
said, I wasn't there, no, I don't know.
Maybe we're going to ask JD.
I ever told you this to Rebbe? You heard
of it. But not this one. But Shammai, that's all his teachings are so much. Each side of what he did this and this, that, and this, and this, and that. George Stevens, that's he asked his kashas, why somebody had to put the armak on this, and always that's a mistake that he had to do this.
I like that. There's something there.
Wolf has seen so much, that's what it's so.
I think that's Yosef. I see a beautiful guy like you. Nothing's allowed to stifle. Let your R out. Let it out. Let it out. Creative, interesting, chaos. It's beautiful. Let it out. We all have to express our R. Nothing's allowed to stifle it. Nothing. We will put this neshama here, an R. This is a creative, warm, intelligent. It's like a zah sun. Let it out. Let it out. Nothing's allowed to stifle. I, there's another son that's like, that's a different door. That's a different, but my yard has to be my yard. Maskim Yosef. Shine our lights. Shine our lights. Okay, so then I'm going to tell you, do you mind if I quickly say the story with Yad Kislev? Quickly, okay. Maishi, you know the story of Yad Kislev? Should I say it? Michal, okay, I'm going to tell you the story. I'm only doing this, the reason I'm doing this for myself, one, because it's cool and I want to be cool. Two is I want to show off to Nathan. And three is a good segue, Nathan. Because Nathan, we're talking about different iris, Daniel. And not to be afraid of different iris, that's mamish the story I'm about to tell. Not mamish, this is like... And shine your R, Kivli. Avi, listen to this. We're going to go back to the late 1700s and the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich is the main disciple of the Baal Shem. And the Maggid inexplicably says to the Baal HaTanya on Yud Tes Kislev, it's a Yom Tiv, it's our Yom Tiv today. These Yidden, their words were measured, and he says to the Baal HaTanya, the Baal HaTanya is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, his name was of Shneir Zalman, he was from Liadi, and he says to the Baal HaTanya, it's our Yom Tov today, on Yud Tes Kislev. more the Maggid. The Balatanya was a Talmud of the Maggid, and really more Reb Menachem Mendel Levitipest. They were together Talmidim by the Maggid, but the Balatanya was younger than Reb Menachem Mendel. I would call him, I don't want to, like, you have to ask Chabad, because I don't have the right. I would say he's a Talmud of the Maggid, and maybe even a Shtickel Talmud of Reb Menachem Mendel Levitipest. Lemaisa. In the late 1700s, the Baal Shems, a few big disciples, which means students of the Baal Shem, decide they're moving to Eretz Yisrael. Yidden always love our land. And Reb Menachem Mendel of Vitepest, along with others, got Eretz Yisrael. The Baal HaTanya says that I want to go too. Which Yid doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he decides to leave. Reb Menachem Mendel tells him, your flock needs you, you're not allowed to abandon them. Make a taste to leave your chevra. And Reb Menachem Mendel doesn't allow his friend slash Talmud, we'll call him a Talmud chaver, he doesn't allow the Baal HaTanya to go to Eretz Yisrael. He tells him, you have a job, you have a task, you have a tzibur, don't abandon your flock. The Baal HaTanya's Rebbe says that. He goes back to his flock. He actually had traveled away already and was trying to come. He had already packed up and was trying to come with Reb Menachem Mendel. How much he had packed, all the details, it's late 1700s. I wasn't born, even Reb Ezi wasn't born yet then.
I was a kid.
Oh, he was. Reb Ezi was a kid then. Reb Ezi doesn't remember the details. Reb Ezi's an old soul. But anyway, the bottom line is... I'm having way too much fun today, Reb Ezi.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that he decides the Baal HaTanya that he wants to support Eretz Yisrael. It can't be, I'm just not going. I want to go there, but he stays with his flock. So he starts something that's called Koilol Chabad. What do we typically, Joshua, Kiva, what do you picture when you picture a Koilol, a group of men learning? Koilol Chabad has nothing to do with anybody learning. Now, the word Koilol means to bond people. Koilol Chabad was a tzedakah started by the Baal HaTanya, and he collected funds for Menachem Mendel of Vitepest and other Yidden in Eretz, or any Yid. And it's one of the oldest tzedakahs in the world, Koilol Chabad. And it was started with the purpose of what? Aniyei Eretz Yisrael was started by the Baal HaTanya, who couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, said, at least let me support the poor Yidden of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chica, Eretz Yisrael at this point, late 1700, just to get your year straight, America has just started. What year did America start, Davidol? Let's go. I want the guys to know this. Beautiful, 1776. Good, Davidol. You're holding now, 20 years into the Yankees aren't even born yet. 20 years, you're holding 1790, in the 1790s, and the Baal HaTanya decides, even 1780s maybe, the Baal HaTanya decides he's supporting, remember, he can't go to Eretz Yisrael, David, so just to get a historical like the time, he's going to start this Koilol Chabad and support the poor people of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Baal HaTanya had misnagdim, people who didn't like him, because they didn't know this whole shtickle tire of different iris, or because they held like Morty, my job's not to let your ur, my job's to shine my ur. He's starting Hasidus, and they were very nervous about him. They report to the Russian head, whose name was Paul, the guy in charge in Russia, and they tell him that the Baal HaTanya is a bad dude. They wanted to get him in trouble because he's affecting Yiddishkeit. So they tell him who ran Eretz Yisrael, the Ottoman Empire, who were enemies of the Russians. So they tell him the Baal HaTanya had started Koilol Chabad, sending money to Israel. They convince him that the Baal HaTanya is supporting the enemy, supporting the Ottoman Empire. And if he's supporting the enemy, he's your enemy. He who is friends with your enemy is your enemy. He's supporting the Ottoman Empire. And they tell Paul, Yidden, who didn't know the shtickl about two iris, they tell them that the Baal HaTanya is supporting the Ottoman Empire. The Russians imprisoned in St. Petersburg, they throw the Balatanya into jail. Now, jail is not like a nice little cell. He was on some island. They were going to kill him. Huh?
Was he the Balatanya before jail or after jail?
I don't know. But they, it was for sure of Shnei Zalman of Liadi. And they throw him into prison, Chica. They throw him into prison. And he was there for 2 months in jail because of Kailul Chabad. On what day did they let him out? On the day that 26 years before, the Maggid inexplicably says to the Baal HaTanya that Yat Kislev, Yud Tes Kislev, is our Yom Tov. For some reason, he said like a line, this is our holiday. On Yud Tes Kislev, 26 years later, the Baal HaTanya is rotting in jail. And like this, the Tsar, the head of Russia, decides to free him. He gets freed, Yud Tes Kislev. The Chassidim wanted to turn it into a Yom Tov. The Baal HaTanya is freed. He didn't want it, but they convinced him that let's celebrate the Kollel that got you in trouble. Now the Kollel's let it run, the money for the Aniyim. So every year on Yat Kislev, us, the Chabad Tzibur makes a big party and a big Zach, and they raise money for the Kollel Chabad. This year on Thursday is Yat Kislev, Thursday night. And Kollel Chabad, about 2,000 people will be gathering in New York, and they've asked Shlomo Guri to come and sing at this gathering, Yat Kislev. They gave tickets. I have 50 tickets for the Chevra, so Chevra can come. Mardcha's coming with Yankov. Us Chabad guys are coming. We may convince Rav Ezi. There are rumors. We may convince Rav Ezi to go. We saw him learning Basayan over Shabbos, so it looks like things are changing rapidly. Oh, really?
So, Mezuchus, like I said, that was referring to Mezuchus Yachim.
He was Nifter then? I didn't have that the Maggid of Mezuchus ends up being Nifter, Yat Kislev also. I did not know that.
Why do they call Rosh Hashanah?
Because they hold with Chassidus, like that's like a petty call. And the Maggid called it our Yom Tov. So they took it that they call, I don't know, they call like a day of like a big Zach.
Well, with the calendar,
Yat Kislev.
The calendar, the Rebbe made the calendar, it starts with Yat Kislev.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm not here to, I don't know. The bottom line, he's trying to get me in here. Knock him, this tape ain't going out.
That's the title.
Half little fella. So now you know, Akiva, now you know what Shlaim is singing. Let's sing. You can't end such a discussion and not sing Keli Atvedeku, which was composed, the tune, by the Baal HaTanya Aleim. Let's sing Keli Atvedeku. Me and Shlomo, they want him to sing only a Chabad song. So they want Keli Atvedeku. We will convince them. We've officially made Kayol Tareg. I think it's so good. For now, when it's also a Chabad song. It definitely has Chachma, Bina, and Das in the song. And we're convincing them Kayol Tareg.
I hope one of them listened to this
year. Like 50 years, you're going to have like Chabad Fabrengen, and they're going to sing the Chabad Kayol Tareg. All because of Shlomo Guri. It's funny, Shlomo Kavlak named this song the Crack and Niggin. So for now on, the Kayol is the Chabad Niggin here. So, let's go, let's go. Let's do Keliat the Shlomo. Let's go. Nice key. Let's go. Sid, I need to sit next to Chabad Chassid with this guy. Yaroi Memego.
Yeah.
Very important to me. Chanukah is a zman that we're madlik the ur. The ur has come out, and the darkness precisely allows for the ur. Shraga b'tia ramayahani, and the light is no ur. The darkness itself allows for an ur. And what we do yearly is we have a thing where guys write odes about each other. We call them odes because we say it says. We all have a uniqueness, an oid shali. We all have an oid. What does an ode mean? Yomi, what is an ode?
I don't
know. An ode is like a short appreciation song of somebody's called an ode. We call it an oid because we're a yeshivish place. And azam lakai ba'oidi means like the uniqueness of each person, the oid shali, my little. So we ask everybody to write oids about each other. What we're going to do, the prizes are going to be crazy. It could be the winner. We're going to announce specific. It might be a trip to Eretz Yisrael, ski trip to Utah. No, we're talking that level.
Category or no?
What? Yeah, but an oid, the way an oid works, it could be a song, it could be a poem. It should be an appreciation of each guy's going to get somebody to do. We're going to give it out. You're going to get a guy in yeshiva, and you write an ode about the guy. You give him a gift. The gift should be under $5. Expensive doesn't fool us. $10 max. You buy a gift for your guy. Creative gifts, cute, make us laugh. Buy something that like fits the guy. You might have to do research on the guy. We do this at a Suda on Hanukkah and Yeshiva. And guys read their oids. It's electric, really special. And the dorm councils are going to vote. It's going to be a panel. I assure you, Avi Bertram will be on this panel. And they're going to vote. Sreli Stern will be on this panel. And they're going to vote the top one, but it's the most interesting and geschmack and well done and funny. You could do a song. Don't do Grammin. No Grammin. Grammin is like so other years. But it's not this year. You will not win. That I know from firsthand from the judges. But you do a poem. It could be a song. A song is a big mile. You do a song, a poem. It could rhyme. It doesn't have to rhyme. It's an ode. And it's a song slash. Yeah, not the tune. Yeah, we don't. It's been used up. It's retired for the year. Maskemaish. They retired years ago. So no Grammin. Grammin. We're gonna rebring it in a few years.
What? We got a ChatGPT.
I want to say with that, that many guys, of course, use chat, and I don't care they use these chats. You simply, I don't care. I want to say that it's not, you could tell it's not personal. That's why the judges are sophisticated. And by the way, you could even use those lines, but you could tell if it's warm, if it's on point, if it's your own private. If chat could write your appreciation to the guy, the judges are brilliant. And emotionally, you won't win. I don't think it will ever happen. Because they're looking. It even defines the judges. One guy is brilliant and has such good words. They're talking about that it's meaningful. We want to see that it means something. That your mamish had a beautiful appreciation. I don't think a chat, whatever, will end up being a victor. By the way, if you got some lines from me, I would advise them. I think that's cool. You're allowed to even get a few words and lines. But give your own stamp, your own mark on it. So, do guys have, they can figure out if you got it from there?
Yeah, if it's too good, no, it's
our guys are better, what's his?
You could tell, though.
You could tell.
If it works, it's on the hand.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And if you fool the judges,
honestly, it's none of the judges' business.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
If they could call me, it's irrelevant. It's
totally I agree with that. I agree with you, Avassi. I don't care.
Let's say I call up the guy who's very talented and writes it for me. It's not my business. I'll give you
your
finished product.
I'll see you later. Because of the Levaya, it says, right, Kiyosh Yonar. He gives daily Musar, topics from eulogies to holiday related discussions.
Who says that?
Because of the Levaya. It was the most recent one.
Where does it say that?
Here it says daily Musar. It says he sponsors me this covering times and eulogies because of the Levaya.
Okay, in case you're using chat. Chat, what's this called?
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT says that from now on I only give eulogies. So okay, you can use one big eulogy. If as he says, Nar Simchas from now on. Chat, I'm official eulogist.
Don't get a robot to write your own. He wants a different title. I'm going to have to check.
Daniel, that'll work. That'll work.
Shine your light. Nathan, you'll win the contest. We're going to have five winners. We'll try to do every age, like a dorm council winner. The dorm councils are not going to vote on themselves. That's Daniel Silver's running the yeshiva these days. You're going to pick the best dorm council, Daniel. Who should vote with you, a non-dorm counselor? Who should vote with you?
With me?
To decide which dorm council. Who should be a judge with you?
And Avi Bertram's already in.
He's the dorm council judging the 9th, the 10th, 11th, 12th. The dorm councils are judging the 10th, 11th, 12th, but the dorm council also going to have aides. So who's judging their winner? Who's judging with you? Wow. Okay, you're saying good. So your mom, is going to the top. Your mom is. Okay, you mean it. Yomi, you have a good one prepared?
Yeah, I haven't seen it since last year.
Obviously. It's
it applies to anyone.
You know, it's interesting.
It applies to everyone.
They made some gathering for Tzvi Eisner, and Meshulam Charach spoke, and he said an oid to my friend. I think he had written the oid for the yeshiva. People what a weird place. He got up and he said a brilliant oid for Tzvi.
No way.
Now, he had the oid from our oids. Azav l'kai be'oidi. So we're going to have an oid night. He never said it, but he wrote it. I think so. But he had never given it. I think so. Is that true, Michal? Chica's gonna have a good oid. The gift is like a temple. We're gonna give out names. Yomi, we're gonna give out names to everybody. Do we let guys pick who they want to give it to? Yeah. We no.
Yeah.
What?
It
has to give guys a chance to
we can't pick
we're,
who.
We're coming back on Hanukkah, right? And the next day is still Hanukkah.
Yeah.
That morning is when we're having this bash, the Eid bash, and that's after a night of partying. Guys asked, maybe we'll do it that night. Guys in yeshiva said there's a concept of a mincha ma'ariv. A bachur, we had a whole vote this morning, and guys wanted to start. You know, you ever heard of a mincha ma'ariv? Guys want to start a new concept called a ma'ariv shachris. Would that be a cool ma'ariv shachris? So they say that night we have a concert through the night. We should do a ma'ariv shachris. You ever went to one of those? That went the way of Grahman retired.
As long as there's donuts.
I think we're picking who the Oids are. People are going to all want you to write an Oid about that. Everybody's going to want to write about Yomi and you. David, you have an idea already?
We can't be able to pick.
What? No. Yankiv. Good times. Okay. Shells, we should have an admirer now.
Is it that time of the day?
What? Srilly, look at the crowd here. Look at this chevra. What would be if you and Shlomo would sing something now? Come to the front. Come. Yehuda Laluch is here. David Silver. David, it means a lot that you're here. Is that David Silver? Thank you, being Lukovid. You, Yankiv, sing with them. Yankiv, you, Srilly, and Shlomo. Come, sir, right here. Yankiv, right here.
I need Aaron Feinsod on the box.
Aaron Feinsod, come on the drums. Come. Aaron on the drums. Yankiv, right next to Shlomo.
Oh, baby, love.
Seriously, that was sick. Amazing.
And, next one is that.
Listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maor Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.